All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 8 is going to be my text verse, but let's read the chapter here real quickly, and you follow along as I read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's on page 268. Any more questions? You good? Okay. Do what? I don't know. Why, Pastor Brian wants to know why his is 229. Because I think you and I have the same Bible, don't we?
Same publisher, but it's a different...
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind. All right, here we go. Verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, that's Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace, the Siamese twins of the New Testament, grace and peace. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and the labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I want to speak to you tonight, or this morning, tomorrow afternoon, sometime. It's been a long week. I am so tired. I want to speak to you from verse 8, and that'll be my text verse. If you'll notice the first line there, it says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord." And I would like to speak this morning a message I'm going to entitle, "Sounding Out the Word." Sounding out the word. Let's pray real quickly. Father, thank you now for just allowing us to take a few minutes here and open your eternal word. And Father, I pray you'll help me as I speak, and I pray you'll help our folks as they listen. Just give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And Father, may what is said this morning uplift our Savior and advance the cause of Christ as we hear about the importance of sounding out the word and letting folks know where we stand. Father, I pray that you will just fill me with your Spirit and help me now this morning. I need your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul is making his way across the Mediterranean, and he went north. Once he got out in the middle of the Mediterranean, they went north and kind of hugged the coastline, and they disembarked due north in the region of Macedonia, and then Paul and the rest started their journey towards the south, towards Rome. And so as they were in the city of Thessalonica preaching, which was one of their stops, we learn from the book of Acts that in every major city where they stopped, they preached the gospel and planted churches. And the reception that they received in the city of Thessalonica was a mixed reception. Paul and Silas saw some of the Jews get saved, just a few, not many, but they saw a great number of the Greek citizens, and Thessalonica is a city of Greece, and they saw a great number of Greek folks get saved, both men and women coming to Christ, and a great work was done. Now, from what we learn in Luke's account in the book of Acts, you remember Luke wrote the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is the history book of the New Testament, and the book of Acts tells us about Paul and the stay that he had in the town of Thessalonica. And he stayed there, according to Luke, for only 3 weeks. Luke describes that 3 weeks as three Sabbaths. All right, so three Sabbaths, 3 weeks they stayed in that city. And there was so much opposition to the work, to their presence, to their preaching, so much opposition that soon it was not safe for them to stay in the city. Now, the sad part is the opposition did not come from the Greek people. The opposition came from the Jews. Exactly right. They came from their own people. Isn't that strange? You would think that the Jewish people there would have come with open arms and welcomed Paul and his friends. You would think, but no, they resented them being there, and they did everything in their power to silence them and to shut them up. Now, why is it that other religions, and especially every false religion, will do all they can to silence the witness of a believer when it comes to the matter of salvation by grace through faith? Why is that? Don't you find that a little strange? I mean, you come in preaching the gospel and telling folks about the Lord, and all of a sudden they get angry and they don't want you preaching about the Lord any longer. And so here's what we find in the book of Acts. Every time they came preaching, the Jews stirred the people up, and they were persecuted, thrown in jail, beaten. Every place they went into, they got in trouble. I remember Dr. Dollar saying when I was in college that when the Apostle Paul went into town, he did not go to the Holiday Inn Express. He went down to the jail because he figured that's where he was going to be before the night was over. And that's pretty much right, isn't it? I mean, Paul ended up in jail so many times. And, of course, we know all the wonderful times that the Lord delivered them from the jails that they were locked in. But the truth of the matter is, it is always those who are preaching and teaching a false gospel that seem to be the most offended when the true gospel is preached. And, you know, you will never hear of a truly born again, saved by the blood believer taking a gun or a baseball bat into a mosque or into a Hindu shrine or into an Orthodox church or into a Catholic church and persecuting them simply because they do not believe the way we believe. You never hear of that. But you sure hear it on the other side, don't you? It's always the other way around. You will never see a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church raiding a session of Congress or raiding the Maryland legislature and then grab those liberals and take them out back and tie them to a post and whip them with a bullwhip for the ridiculous socialistic, woke, communistic, Nazi view that they have towards governing. You'll never see us doing that. Now, don't get any ideas. And I can see some of you smiling right now. Don't you get any ideas now. I'm not advocating anything. I don't think I need to advocate anything, do I? Well, Paul and Silas went into Thessalonica to tell folks about the Lord. They didn't go in there to start riots. They didn't go in there to persecute non-believers. No, they went in to share the gospel with them. And in just no time, the entire city was in an uproar. They went running to their city council. These Jews went running to the city council, and they cried out. You can read about this in Acts 17. And they said, "These who have turned the world upside down are come here also." These that have turned the world upside down, they've come here also. Well, they didn't turn the world upside down with baseball bats and guns. They turned the world upside down spiritually speaking. That's what turned the world upside down. And if the world was turned upside down by them, then it must mean that the world was wrong side up and it needed to be turned right side up. Amen? Well, several months passed after Paul and his compatriots left, and Paul wrote the book of 1 Thessalonians and sent it back to the church. And as you can tell by the tone of the very first chapter, the book was a very encouraging book. Now, in this first chapter, Paul says some wonderful things about how these new Christian folks were such a wonderful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. These converts were not hindered by the opposition that had risen up against them and against their witness. They were still faithful to proclaim the message of Christ to everyone and to in every place they went. Paul even said that their faith had spread all over the place. I mean, it did not just stay right there in Thessalonica, but Paul said, "Your faith is heard of in other places." You see, Thessalonica was a city that was built on a major trade route. It was a major highway that went through there, a trade route that was frequented by folks from all over the known world. And so when they got into Thessalonica, that would be a spot where they would stop and refresh themselves and get some more food and so forth to take with them. And so while they were in this city, they were witnessed to by the Christians, and then they got saved, and then they went on and took the gospel to other places. Man, that's awesome, isn't it? I mean, they were not ashamed and not afraid to let their light shine. Now, let's think about this morning the witness of these Christians in Thessalonica. I want you to see that they were great witnesses, and let's see why Paul bragged on their witness. First of all, I want you to notice that they were conspicuous in their witness. They were conspicuous in their witness. You know, they weren't hiding. You'll notice in the text verse, it says, from you sounded out. Now, he didn't say from you, it was whispered. No, he said from you, it was sounded out. The word of God was sounded out. In other words, they were not afraid to speak up. The Christians in Thessalonica were no silent witnesses. They were not silent believers. They were not shy about telling people about whose side they were on. I think they made sure that everyone knew where they stood. They did not hide their faith inside a coat pocket. They did not leave their faith in a closet with the door shut. They did not leave their faith in a drawer with a lock on it. No, Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And evidently, this church had followed the witness of their mentor, the Apostle Paul. Paul was bold, and he taught them that boldness. There's a little statement that is made here. If you will look at verse 6, it says, and ye became followers of who? Us, and of the Lord. You see, Paul could say that because Paul followed the Lord. And so he said, you folks are just a replica of us. What we did in your city is now what you are doing in your city. And they were bold about preaching the gospel. You see, the world has had believers like this through the centuries, and men that were bold and were forthright and not ashamed and not intimidated or not afraid to be a great witness for the Lord. I read a book about George Mueller. And Mueller prayed daily. He ran an orphanage, and he prayed daily for God to supply the food that was needed daily in that home. He would get up way before sunrise, and he would begin praying for the Lord to provide breakfast for his kids, and the Lord would provide every day. Every day he did the same thing. He got up and prayed in the morning and said, okay, Lord, you know that we need breakfast this morning. And sure enough, around 7 o'clock, here would come a wagon, and somebody in the town, in the city, would get burdened about the orphanage and would bring food and bring a couple of ladies, and they would all come in and cook breakfast for the kids. And the kids were, they didn't know any different. They didn't know how they got it. But Mueller prayed for it every day. That's how they got it. And then he would take about an hour before lunch and say, okay, Lord, We got to feed these kids for lunch now. They've been in school all morning, and they're hungry, so we got to provide for their lunch. And so, Lord, I'm going to trust you to provide. And then he'd get up off his knees, and there'd be a knock at the door, and he'd go to the door, and there was lunch. And then he would say, okay, Lord, dinner time is almost here, and Lord, you're going to have to provide for dinner. And every single evening, someone knock on the door, and here would be dinner. And folks, this didn't happen just once every 6 months. This didn't happen just once every year. No, this was an everyday thing. Every day, that man would get up and pray for God to supply. The man had no funds. He had no money. I mean, he didn't have a dime to his name, they said. But yet, he prayed and God provided for every single need. Every day, the Lord did just exactly what Brother Mueller prayed and asked the Lord to do. And folks knew that he did not have a dime to his name, but yet they watched as God provided day after day and year after year as God provided for them. One commentator that I read after concerning 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 said in his commentary that the believers in Thessalonica let everyone know that they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Oh, how that is so needed today. There was no place for any secret disciple in Thessalonica. They weren't like Joseph of Arimathea. You know, you remember Joseph in the Gospels? Joseph of Arimathea, you'll remember that Joseph had secretly believed in the Lord Jesus, but he didn't want anybody to know about it. So he just kept it to himself. And it took the brutal execution and crucifixion of our wonderful Savior, his wonderful Savior, for him to get his boldness to stand up and speak on the Lord's behalf. You see, these people in Thessalonica, they were not like Nicodemus, that ruler of the Jews in John chapter 3. And if you are a ruler of the Jews, that means you are a member of the Sanhedrin. You are a big shot, all right? You're the upper crust, all right? Remember, the upper crust is a bunch of crumbs held together by their own dough. All right, don't forget that. And that's what Nicodemus was. He was a big shot. He came to the Lord at night, remember? He didn't want anybody to see him, so he comes sneaking to where the Lord Jesus was and spent several hours talking and allowing the Lord Jesus to witness to him. And you know what I think? I think he got saved that night. I think he got saved. But he stayed a quote-unquote secret disciple for a little while until he could no longer conceal his faith once he saw his Savior crucified for doing absolutely nothing wrong. Hey, folks, the bottom line is that all of us who believe should be sounding out our faith in the Savior. These folks wanted everyone to know where they stood with the Lord Jesus. I remember reading a bumper sticker years ago down south, and it said, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Whoa. Man, that's a gut shot, isn't it? Huh? If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Oh, that we would be this kind of a great witness. Second thing I want you to notice here, I want you to notice the courage of their witness. There is something I think that we should consider about these Christians right here in verse 8. You see, faith in Christ in those days more often than not put you in grave danger. Yeah. If you put your faith in the Lord, it puts you in grave danger. You risk getting kicked out of your family. You risk losing your job. You risk maybe even death or imprisonment. And, we can be a Christian today and we might get laughed at maybe. We might get mocked a little bit or maybe even scorned by some. But back in Paul's day, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ often cost you your life. And these believers, however, did not concern themselves about their peril. They had the courage to live their faith wherever they were. And you know, today we have many folks who will live for the Lord on Sunday, but they won't live for the Lord Monday through Saturday. Why is that? Why is that? Oh, we need a walk with God, don't we? I was given this morning a little saying, and I wrote it down. I said, man, I can use that this morning, and I want you to listen to it. It says, don't say you'll go to jail over your faith when you won't even come to church over your faith. Ouch. But that's true, isn't it? Don't say you'll go to jail for your faith when you won't even come to church for your faith. God help us, folks. God have mercy on us. You see, Christianity is not for the weak and fearful. It takes a great deal of intestinal fortitude sometimes to declare yourself a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are Christians in China and in certain parts of India and in Syria who have to face daily persecution, who live in fear for their lives. I told you about the pastor at the school over in China that we visited, the first school that we went to in Suzhou. And this pastor got out of prison. He had been in prison for 3 years, and he got out of prison the day that Glenn and I showed up. Glenn Matthews and I showed up. He got out of prison that day. He was emaciated. He was skin and bones. And you could just look at him and tell he was sick. I mean, 3 years in a prison. And I asked one of the translators, I said, tell me, why was he put in prison? And he said, well, he lives upstairs over a store in an apartment, him and his family. And he came downstairs, and when he did, one of his church members who lived in the apartment beside of them was downstairs, leaned against the wall, weeping because his wife had just passed away. And that pastor went over and put his arm around his church member and got on his knees and began to pray and ask the Lord to help him. And a policeman drove by and got out of the car and arrested him for praying. And he had a little appearance before the authorities, and they told him, you've got to promise you'll not pray in public ever again. He said, I can't promise that. You cannot pray in public. And he said, I cannot promise that. So 3 years he spent in jail because he would not back down. Thank God for people like that. You know, I used to laugh seeing foreign leaders, dignitaries landing in America up at JFK and getting off of the airplane and walking over and getting on their knees and kissing the ground. You know, it's symbolic. I understand that. But I used to laugh when I saw that. I thought, ugh, that's disgusting. But then I spent 2 weeks in the old Soviet Union back in 1990. where we had to sneak around. I spent 3 weeks in China where we had to sneak around everywhere we went to preach for fear of leading the authorities to the church service that we were preaching in that night. And so when we got home, both from Russia and from China, when I walked down the stairs of that airplane and walked over to get on the bus that took us over to the terminal, it did cross my mind. Get on your knees and thank God you're back in America again. You see, we have no idea what other Christians have to go through. No idea. We have it so easy here in America, but I'm telling you, folks, in Thessalonica, it took courage to live for God. But they did it. That's amazing, isn't it? Number three, I got to hurry. Number three, I want you to notice the confirmation of their witness. Notice in verse 8, Paul tells us these Christians sounded out something specific. What was it? Oh, they sounded out the word of God. You see, folks, their witness was authentic because it was based on the authentic. It was based on the scriptures. Their testimony was according to the word of God. You know, through the years, there have been preachers that have flashed on the scene. You know what I mean? I mean, just boom, they just flashed on the scene. Through the years, there have been these folks that, they're young and they're, handsome and they've got a beautiful family and they just flash on the scene. And through the years, some big name pastor will latch on to them, or some Bible college will latch on to them and elevate them. They'll put them, before everything and everybody, and give them a platform without them earning the platform. And that more than often goes bad. More than often, that goes bad. In no time, I've seen many of them fall flat on their face. There is one fella right now that I know about. One fella, I watched him come on the scene, and I watched him just become an instant overnight, I got to have this guy in my church type. And I watched as everybody just went after him and wanted him, and everybody just fell over themselves trying to promote him and have him in their church. But after about 3 or 4 years, his flash fizzled out. His flash was gone. And it had to do over some money issues. It became real obvious that something in the milk wasn't clean, you know, real obvious. And I read just last week, where this fella who now pastors one of these emerging churches down in the Nashville area, He now is pastoring this church, and he got before his congregation as serious as he could be, as serious as he could be. Get this now, as serious as he could be. And he told his congregation that demons communicated with him and told him the name of some witches in his area. What? I mean, are you serious? Listen, folks, where do you find anything like that in the Bible? You don't. You don't. What fellowship does a Christian, does a believer have with unrighteousness? None. None. If you want to check out the legitimacy of a matter, what you need to do is check it by the Word of God. And if you want to find out whether a preacher is right, or a church is right, or a mission board is right, or a Bible college is in line, all you have to do is check it by the Word of God. It's not that complicated. If it line up with the Bible, good, good. But if it doesn't, well, then you got a problem. Years ago, when I was pastoring in Dixie, West Virginia, I was about 24 or 25 years old. Still had pimples. I was so skinny. Oh, my goodness. I wish we could go back to that. And I had hair. I wish I could go back to that. There's no hope, John. Just give it up, buddy. And in the middle of the night, Saturday night, of course, I got a stomach bug. Oh, I was so sick. And so I called my brother, woke him up, middle of the night, and I said, hey, you got to preach this morning. I've got a stomach bug. So I stayed home. Now, back in that day, you only had four channels on the TV. All right, you had ABC, CBS, NBC, and PBS. And you couldn't get PBS. It was all snowy. But anyway, I turned on the TV, and there was this fella preaching. And so I sat there, and I listened as this guy was preaching. I had never seen this fella before. I'd heard his name once I found out who he was. But I had never seen this fellow before, because I'm always in church. I don't stay home and watch church on TV. The Bible said, not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You can't assemble with the brethren in your living room watching TV. Okay, all right, just making sure y'all still with me. So I'm sitting there listening, all right? And I listened to it for about 15 minutes. And man, everything that guy said was right straight down the line. And I'm sitting there listening and I'm going, amen, man, preach it. I sat up once on the edge of the seat and I said, wow, I got to write that down. That was good. And while I was getting a piece of paper and a pen to write down what he had just said, all of a sudden he took a U-turn. Went out into La La Land. Evidently, he likes it out there. And he started coming up with things, and I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. And I heard some of the most unbelievable stuff that I'd ever heard. Now, folks, I'm not, you know, by any means a Bible scholar, especially at 24 years of age, I wasn't a Bible scholar. But I knew enough about the Bible to know that what this guy was saying was heresy. And about that time, it flashed across the bottom of the screen. It said, you are listening to the teaching. Don't forget, Paul said that in the end times, folks will have itching ears to hear what the teachers have to say. All right? You are listening to the teaching of Dr. Herbert W. Armstrong. A lot of folks don't know who that is. He's dead now. By the way, he's a true believer now. Selah. Think about it. Folks, you got to be careful is what I'm saying. If you want to find out whether something's right, right here's how you do it. And then lastly, I want you to notice the circumference of their witness. They had a great witness in Macedonia. That's the city, the region, the county, if you will, where the city was located. And then they had a great witness in Achaia. That's the province that was just next to them. But Paul said their witness was so strong that people who go through there were being led to Christ. And then wherever they went, they spoke about the witness and how they got saved when they were in Thessalonica. Oh, what a wonderful testimony these people had. You know, I hope others have had this experience, but on two occasions, once on Interstate 81 and once on Interstate 95 in Virginia and in South Carolina, I've gone into the restroom at a rest area along the interstate. And when I've gone in, I've seen our gospel tracts in the restroom, stuck beside mirrors. I've seen them on the counters. I've seen them on top of the hand dryers. And down on 95, I think they just had a whole bunch because they were all over that bathroom. You say, how do you know it was ours? And there's my ugly mug. I finally get an amen out of him. And it is in one of the most carnal ways that it could be given. Go back to sleep, John. I turn it over, and there's church, the open door. Man, I just rejoice. I just rejoice. And I was standing there reading down in South Carolina, standing there looking at it, and I turned it over, and sure enough, it was ours. And a guy walks in, and he sees me reading it, and he goes, good grief, they're everywhere, aren't they? I said, yeah, read it. And I handed it to him. I said, wait a minute, turn it over. And I pointed at my picture, and I said, what do you think of that? He said, did you write this? I said, no, but somebody from my church put it here. Put all these here. Isn't that awesome? And that's the way it ought to be, folks. Oh, let your witness just be out there. Sound it out. And tell everybody that Jesus saves. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will bless this to our hearts. Just thank you so much for the privilege of being able to be in a church where soul winning and passing out tracts and reaching the lost is emphasized. And Father, I pray that we will sound out, just like the Thessalonian church. When Paul heard about their great witness, it impressed him. I wonder what Paul would say about us. I wonder what he would say about Church the Open Door. Well, Father, I would like to think that he would be impressed with the soul-winning efforts that go out of this place. And so, Father, bless, I pray, what's been said. Stir our hearts, challenge our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.